Britt Bunyard, PhD, is the founder, publisher, and editor-in-chief of the mycology journal Fungi. Britt has worked academically as a mycologist his entire career, teaching a number of university courses and writing scientifically for many research journals and popular science magazines. Britt has also served as executive director of the Telluride Mushroom Festival since 2014 and was awarded in that context the Dr. Emmanuel Saltzman Award for Service to the Telluride Mushroom Festival in 2024. And in 2021, he was awarded the Gary Linkhoff Prize for Contributions to Amateur Mycology by the North American Mycological Association, or NAMA. That's the organization's most prestigious honor for American mycologists. This is Susan Diebrock, Telluride Inside and Out, delighted to be speaking once again with Britt Bunyard. Britt, thanks for taking time out of your crazy schedule to join me.
Oh, hi, Suze. Always great to chat with you.
So let's start with the main event. When you put together the Telluride Mushroom Festival 2025, did you have a theme in mind or did one emerge?
Yes, the theme. This year's theme is Connect and Transform. And to answer your question, the theme for this year's festival, no, I didn't actually come up with this year's theme. The theme was picked by another member of our organization team and last year as well. I should point out, before I became the director, there never were really any themes to the festival, at least not that I can recall. And I sort of started instituting a theme, you know, many years ago when I became the director. And it was based on the expertise of several of the more prominent presenters that we had invited for that year. And then when COVID hit, that sort of changed, you know, it changed everything. It changed everything everywhere with everyone. And after COVID, we started really kind of doubling down on themes that were really a little bit more insightful and having to do with coming back together and resilience. So this year's theme, Connect and Transform, you know, it has to do with fungi and their connections to us and the rest of the world and symbionts across the landscapes. Fungi transform their surroundings with their environments. And we basically are offering this year's theme as an invitation to recognize and become inspired by the organisms that we love and as an imperative to learn and integrate the lessons of fungi into everyone's own lives, you know. So that's where all of that came about.
Thank you for that clarification. Now, please share some of the highlights of the Telluride Mushroom Festival 2025, or another way of putting that question is to highlight, would you please, some of the key points of your opening address. Its title is, It's Been a Long, Strange Trip, How Did We Get to the 45th? And just to clarify that, the date is Thursday, August 14th, 6 p.m. at the Sheraton Opera House. That's where you'll be giving that talk. But could you back us up and take us through that talk, its title, and some of the highlights?
Yeah. So without giving away the entire story of this presentation, I can share a few things. So back in the day, the great Gary Linkhoff, he used to always kick things off at the festival, doing the opening lecture and introduction. And then he'd basically lead everyone right on off the stage, out the doors and into the woods, like the Pied Piper of mushrooms that he was. And in his opening address, he'd sort of introduce first timers to the festival and let everyone know what was where and how to find things and what they were to experience and expect and everything. Since he passed away in 2018, I've been sort of taking on the welcome remarks in his place. So this year, being a landmark year, the 45th year for the festival, I thought it might be fun to have for longtime attendees as well as the first timers, just a little overview of how the festival started out and how far it's come, but also to see how I personally have arrived at the festival and got there both literally and metaphorically, and frankly, to maybe even share a few things about my life and career and what I really like about the festival. Everyone knows I'm really passionate about and proud about the festival, and I feel really fortunate to be a part of it. So the festival for me, you know, is much more than an event that happens once a year for 45 years. It's a whole community all year long. So I'll share a few of those things and show some fun pictures and also just kind of introduce first timers to the festival and also just how different it is. You know, I remember it wasn't all that long ago. It was a lot smaller affair. And by the way, one other thing I should point out is Art Goodtimes, longtime organizer of the festival and frankly the heart and soul of the Mushroom Festival. He'll be giving a presentation on the history of the festival, so attendees should definitely check that out. My presentation won't really overlap with his nor steal any of his thunder. So people that want to either go down memory lane and see things how it was way back in the day when they were going, they'll enjoy it, but also first-timers to the festival, he'll be showing a lot of historical things too that I think will be a lot of fun to see. So anyways, that's maybe a little sneak peek about mine without really giving away what's going to happen. There'll be some surprises.
Okay, thank you. You're also scheduled to be part of a book signing on Friday, August 16th. Will there be advanced copies of your latest book, Fungi of the World, A Guide to All Phyla? If not, talk about why you decided the world needs yet another book about fungi. You yourself have written quite a number of them.
why the world needs another book about fungi. That's a good point. The decision that the world needs yet another book about fungi wasn't really my decision. It was the publishers that approached me. And in fact, of the last, I think, five out of the last six books or so that I've done weren't really my idea. It was the publisher's idea that approached me. And, you know, how can I say no? Because I enjoy doing books. But I guess to answer your question, no, I won't have any parts of Fungi of the World because I'm in the midst of writing that right now. It's possibly my biggest writing or second biggest writing project, at least in a long time. So it won't be done for like probably a year. It's a pretty big project, but I'll have several other books there and can talk about them. I guess the decision from the publishers to tap me to do books, and as you said, I've done several in the last few years, is obviously mycology and wild fungi and mushrooms and things like that are a popular topic right now, and they keep tapping me, and I guess maybe someone thinks I'm a popular writer or something as well, but I've been pretty fortunate to have a string of projects keep coming my way. There's a lot of other mycologists out there, you know, nowadays, and both academic and otherwise. So I feel really honored, actually, to get solicited to write books. And it's an honor and, frankly, just tickles me to see my books on the shelves of bookstores next to books by colleagues and friends of mine. And you know, like probably all writers, I like checking on Amazon every few days and seeing that, you know, several of my books are amongst the top sellers in biology and natural history on Amazon. So that's pretty cool, but it's also, you know, very flattering and humbling at the same time. But anyways, to answer your question, my newest book coming out in next year will be Fungi of the World, A Guide to All the Phyla. I won't have any part of that. There may be the next book I have coming out is coming out in September, which is called Fungi Decoded, which is as kind of this old-fashioned look about it, and even has a decoder wheel installed in the book. They may have that at the bookstore for sale. I don't know, but if not, there'll be plenty of other books to check out, I suspect.
Thank you. Keynote talks, dinners, forays, they're always well attended. So please highlight some of the events or some of the names on the schedule that might be overlooked that should not be overlooked.
This is a really good question. You know, everyone, I'm sure, doubtless is excited for the return of Paul Stamets and Dennis McKenna. But yeah, just as you mentioned, there's a lot of other people that maybe they might be famous, but maybe they're just unfamiliar with the attendees, or maybe they're an up-and-comer, let's say, and should be checked out. So yeah, I have some people in mind. And since I mentioned Dennis McKenna, I can just touch on him very briefly. Dennis McKenna, for people that are unfamiliar, he's making his third appearance at Telluride Mushroom Festival this year. He's had a long, long history of study in Amazonian ethnopharmacology and medicinal plants and fungi of the Amazon, and especially the Peruvian Amazon. He got his start a long time ago, did his doctoral work at University of British Columbia and got his PhD in 1984 in ethnopharmacology of ayahuasca. And back then, ayahuasca was pretty much unheard of in the Western world. And then from 2000 to 2017, he taught courses at the University of Minnesota in ethnopharmacology and biochemistry and things like that. His latest big excitement that he'll be telling us about this year will be in 2019, he incorporated a new nonprofit called the McKenna Academy of Natural Philosophy. So I'm hoping he's going to tell us more about that and how people can get involved. But whether you were, like I say, this is his third time at the festival, whether you were there last time when he gave some presentations, including a keynote, I'd have to say he maybe was the most impressive keynote lecturer I've ever seen at the festival. It was an absolute tour de force of medicinal and medicinal plants and fungi and ethnobotany. He's just worked with so many people and had so many different major discoveries. So hopefully people will check his presentation. Well, you'll have two presentations, but one of which will be a keynote. Another person I should point out is Dr. Kathy Aime, who's making her second appearance at the Telluride Mushroom Festival. She's a scientist at the University of Purdue, and she just minutes ago was telling me she was about to hop on a plane to go to South America where she does research. Anyways, Kathy Aime, she got her doctorate in biology from Virginia Polytechnic and under the great Orson Miller. And she postdoced at Oxford in the UK and then worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, ARS, in Beltsville, Maryland. And I think that's probably when I met her. I worked for the USDA ARS, where I postdoced as well, but not in Beltsville. I was at Fort Detrick, where like all the chemical and biological warfare research was done. And I think that's when I first ran across her. Then she took a job at LSU, and she's since moved on to Purdue University several years ago, where she's the director of the Creville Herbarium there and in charge of all the fungal collections. She's an authority on several different things, and I know what she's going to be lecturing about, and I won't spoil a surprise, but if you do really want to spoil your surprise, you could look at the schedule. But anyway, she's a world's authority on systematics, evolution, and genomics of early diverging basidiomycete fungi and of tropical fungi, but she's also a world's authority on rust fungi, which is something I don't personally study, but I'm really fascinated with them. So in short, I guess she can pretty much talk on anything. And it's if she shows her research area in South America where she's been working, you will really get impressed for what a tough person she is. She works in really super remote areas, far too tough for me to be able to tolerate. So she's a pretty cool person, and hopefully you'll want to check out her lecture. She'll be giving two different presentations and I think a workshop as well, if I'm not mistaken. And then maybe the third person to for sure check out is Dr. Greg Mueller, very good friend of mine. He's making his first trip to the Telluride Mushroom Festival ever. I've been after him for years to come, but he's always been saying he was too busy once he retires. So quite literally the week that he announced his retirement, I tapped him last year to be a presenter this year. So I'm really excited. Greg Mueller is world famous. He's a chief scientist emeritus from the Chicago Botanic Garden, and he's a former lead scientist at the Field Museum in Chicago. He's the chair of the IUCN, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, for the IUCN's Fungal Conservation Committee, and his research has long focused on evolution and ecology and conservation of fungi, especially mushroom-producing fungi. Greg's the world authority on the genus Lacaria, and he's named several species in that group and in some other groups. A lot of his field work's been in the Americas, but also Australasia and China. So he's basically had several careers. It's really, and he's just so nice to speak with and hear talk. He's so down to earth. He's authored several books. He mostly has written sort of like monographs or textbooks of mycologies, and he's written over 120 peer-reviewed journal articles as well. The one thing that I'm really, really most excited to hear about is his work with the IUCN's developing the Global Fungal Red List initiative. So this is something that the U.S. got involved in kind of late. The Europeans and Chile and some other parts of the world were already doing this with other organisms. When something gets put on a red list, that means that the world should be concerned for its going extinct, and then that puts into progress or puts into play a whole bunch of steps to try to preserve the habitat and reverse, you know, sort of a downward trend of that particular organism going away. Fungi, of course, have always gotten short shrift. Plants and mammals and things have been on endangered species lists forever, but who's ever heard of fungi being on endangered species lists? Well, now people are, thanks to the work of Dr. Greg Miller. He's won several awards from international agencies for his work, too. So I'm really super, super excited that he's coming this year, because it's been many, many years trying to get him to come. So he'll be giving a keynote presentation as well as one other presentation as well. So for sure, everyone should check out those three people. But there's, you know, as you know, there's so many other things going on as well. There's far too many to list them all.
Right. Well, thanks to you, I had the privilege of interviewing Gregory Miller, and I second that emotion. He's not to be missed. And years ago, I also interviewed Dennis McKenna, and same song, different verse. So thanks for these highlights, knowing that you could have gone on for an hour on just that subject. So, okay, you've been director of Mushroom Festival we've established since 2014, which means you've put together 11 programs, including this year. Your people, your franchise, might be interested in to know how you perform that particular magic trick year after year.
Oh, well, this will be a much shorter answer than the previous couple answers that I've given. As you know, this is a really, really big event. It's the largest wild mushroom, event in North America. And just this year, as an example, we have more than 100 presenters, instructors, 4A leaders, and experts in mycology. So how do I perform the magic? Well, short answer, it's a team effort. And I'm just a part of an amazing team of passionate and really skilled people that have been doing this together for several years now. So the festival is a way, it's way, way larger now than when I first got involved, but it's also way, way better organized now as well. And again, it's because of the team. So I'm actually just kind of a small part of putting it all together.
Okay. But you are the figurehead, so I had to ask. Okay, now let's get personal. Did you grow up in a family of mycophiles? If not, how, when, where, and why did your life-consuming passion and profession evolve?
Oh, well, I'll try to keep this pretty concise. The shortest answer is no. I did not grow up in a family of mycophiles. The slightly longer answer would be that I did grow up on a farm in southwestern Ohio and was always interested in nature and living things and plants and stuff like that. Our one exposure to mushrooms happened every spring. This was in Ohio, so of course when it was morel season, like a lot of people, we would go out collecting morels, which my family called mushrooms, and that was pretty much it as far as mushrooms go and mycology. And it's a little bit cloudy because it was so long ago, but I remember as a kid roaming in the forest and woods near our farm in the middle of summer or fall and happened upon, you know, various weird looking mushrooms that were garishly colored or whatever. And I remember coming home to ask my dad about them, as I always did with anything having to do with anything, ask my dad. And as was the case with fungi, as well as everything else, he really didn't know anything about the natural world. So I remember asking, you know, about these mushrooms I'd seen, and my dad was like, no, it couldn't have been mushrooms. Remember, we find those in the springtime, you know, and he was referring to morel mushrooms, which again, we just called them mushrooms. And so I remember he kind of stopped himself and said, oh, no, wait a minute. No, I guess that's right. There are other kinds of mushrooms besides those. I mean, we have mushrooms on pizzas and things like that. You know, this was literally the extent of the education about mycology that I started out with, which was, you know, less than zero. So as also happened very much of the time when I would have questions he couldn't answer, he would talk to somebody at work and say, oh yeah, my numbnuts kid again, he's got questions for me. Anyone know, you know, how to repair a bicycle or about mushrooms or whatever? And so someone would come home with advice. Well, he came home with advice the very next day with a piece of paper, and on it was written the title of a book. And he said he talked to his friend at work that his numbnuts kid had this question about mushrooms, and he didn't know anything about it. And this guy said, why, yes, I know about mushrooms. I'm in a club that has to do with mushrooms, and it's called the Ohio Mycological Society. And here is a book that you should get for your son. And he wrote the title on a piece of paper, and I unfolded the paper and looked at it, and it said, The Audubon Guide to Mushrooms of North America by Gary Linkoff. And I was in like middle school. This was 1979 or 80. And that's the first time I'd ever encountered a or, you know, heard of a book or a person that would write a book about mushrooms. So my mom took me to the bookstore because, you know, we used to have bookstores back then. It was like Walden Books or something, and got this book and brought it home. And I just remember, you know, it was a pretty thick book, this Audubon guide. I remember like memorizing all like 600 pages, and I no longer have, yeah. And I no longer have that copy of the book. I have several copies of that book, but not that one. It's long gone. I've had many copies over the years of Gary's book and lots of other of Gary's books. And so, okay, so I went to college actually to study entomology. I was really into insects and was a standout student at Kent State University where I was an undergrad, and got invited as a junior to come work in the lab with grad students to do a project. And you can imagine this was like a huge deal for this very famous biologist to invite me to come do research in the lab with all of these other brainiacs. So he comes in the lab. I'm already sitting there chatting with everyone very nervously. He's like, okay, I want to discuss with you your project. I have one project idea in mind, and you're, I think, probably the best student for this. I'm like, what is it? What is it? He's like, okay, so you know how you're also kind of interested in mushrooms? I know you go out in the spring and you pick stuff and you have brought them in. I've seen you with mushrooms. I've been trying to get an undergrad student to do this project that involves flies, true flies, and mushrooms. And these are flies that feed obligately on mushrooms. So if you pick, you know, the listeners listening to this, if you pick wild mushrooms, especially boletes, you'll see maggots inside of them. Well, those aren't worms, and those aren't a lot of other things you might suspect. They're the immature stage of various flies that their only reason for being is for feeding on mushrooms. So I thought, oh God, what, this is like the least exciting thing to me, but I gave it a try and of course got totally immersed. As it turns out, at Kent State University, where I was an undergrad, there was a very famous mycologist, Samuel Mazur, and Samuel Mazur got his PhD under the great Alexander H. Smith at Michigan. So I learned how to identify mushrooms under Mazur and then did this project, and actually still do that research to this day. I've done the study of Mycophagus diptera for now like 40 years. I'm like one of three people in the world interested in them. But anyways, that's how I started, and then ended up, you know, doing a master's degree in some other form of mycology and a doctorate in some other form of mycology and postdocing, et cetera. And so that's how I got into becoming, you know, an academic mycologist, and I was a professor at a couple different universities. And now, you know, obviously I do other things, including run the Mushroom Festival. But that's in summary, basically how I went from a family absolutely not of mycophiles, but got into all things fungi sort of in a roundabout fashion.
Okay, great. Finally, in what ways and how is the Telluride Mushroom Festival a unique event in the world of mushroom festivals?
Oh, well, as you know, there's, you know, so many other wild mushroom festivals and events nowadays, and there's more cropping up all of the time. Several years ago, mm-hmm. when, you know, I was starting out or even first coming to the Telluride Mushroom Festival, mushrooms were not so popular. Hardly anyone was interested in them. But obviously in the past few years now, it's exploded with people being interested in their medicinal properties and psychedelics and all of these sorts of things. So, but from the very beginning, the Telluride Mushroom Festival was always different from all of the other events. Namely, it began as a psychedelics conference, you know, in 40-some years ago, and it was a gathering where attendees could learn from experts and clinicians. And, you know, you have to remember that back then, psychedelic mushrooms and their use and their study was very much taboo and strictly illegal. And obviously that's been changing recently, of course. But still, the Mushroom Festival includes all things fungal, and we're still true to our roots of having experts and clinicians talk about psychedelics every year. And we have panel discussions on this as well, besides all other aspects of all other fungi. So, you know, I came from an academic background. So my first time attending the Mushroom Festival, I was an invited presenter. You know, this was many years ago. And I was immediately struck, literally the minute I arrived in town, I was immediately struck that this was a very, very different sort of event than the academic conferences that I had been attending previously. And likewise, when I got into doing mycological societies and club events and the NAMA annual event, et cetera, still, the Telluride Mushroom Festival has so many things about it that's very, very different. So, in fact, it's so different that when I'm tapping academic mycologists to come to the festival for the very first time, I usually, there's a big discussion about what goes on at the festival and how this is not like going to MSA and giving a presentation. This is a totally mm-hmm. different ball of wax. It's obviously a lot more fun. That's why I do this every year and not a lot of other things. But first time, you know, it's a very big event and there's lots and lots of people. It's a very welcoming event to everyone. Everyone can feel included, and that includes families and even kids. It's always been a very family-friendly and kid-friendly event, which, of course, mm-hmm. is also kind of different from a lot of other things. First-time attendees and participants are also immediately struck with how very different this event is versus all of the others. I mean, first off, it's held in the most beautiful, albeit expensive, it's in the most beautiful setting in North America, and also the size is just so immense. It's way bigger than any other event. You can't possibly do and see everything. It's just not possible. And you can learn about and participate in just a disparate number of things, from forays and culinary events to hands-on workshops. And we also have a lot of academic mycologists. So, I mean, you can get as academic as you want. You can come and learn from some of the greats, and the talks, you know, they're at a pretty technical level, you know, and I'm always watching to make sure the audience is getting it. And I'm really impressed. The audience that's in the lectures is usually pretty with it and pretty sophisticated. So, you know, you can basically get whatever out of it you want. There's microscopy workshops and hands-on how to use a microscope and how to do DNA sequence technology and what that means. And you can learn from experts that are teaching, you know, to total beginners like, you know, like you, the listener, might be, and you can even take part in listening to panel discussions on things like psychedelics research and efforts at legalization of psychedelics. So it's just a lot more things and than really just any of the other events out there, even if you put them all together, to be completely honest.
Okay. Being completely honest, this is Susan B. Rock, who's it's been delightful speaking once again with Brett Bunyard. He is the grand poobah of the Telluride Mushroom Festival, and he has been since 2014. Brett will be doing the opening address on Thursday, August 14th at the Sheridan Opera House, and he'll be everywhere else you want to be. Brett, thanks so much for taking the time. Again, thank you again.
Suze, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome.